All right, Dave, I'm a compulsive reader, and I'm going to put up my, somebody said, do you got any pictures? Oh, there's 1970 something. That's what I look like. And I was a little over 300 pounds, or maybe a lot. I don't know. I quit weighing myself at 298, but I came in the program August 17th, 1976, and my motivation for coming here was to lose weight and get out, because I didn't. And then if you asked me where I went on Wednesday nights, I wouldn't tell you. I'd say I would go to talk to some people over here. What do you talk about? Oh, different things, you know. And after people ask you five or six questions and they don't get the answer they want, they say, out of the hell with you, you know, and they quit asking you questions. So you know, that's just the truth. That's why I came here. And that actually happened. And it happened because I was at a bottom, and I followed the, you know, I followed the instructions I was given. They gave me a food plan, and they said men lose weight awfully fast on this food plan. That was interesting. I was interested in that. And they said, you know, to make three phone calls a day, don't eat sugar, flour, wheat. Yeah, you can have coffee, tea, and low calorie drinks. Nothing in between meals. And get a sponsor, which I did. Helen was my sponsor, and do the assignments that she assigns to you, you know. And I did that. I did the 30-day, what they call at the time, the Westminster assignments, and it got you through the first three steps. And you ended up reading the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. So there were no OA literature in those days, and I won't comment on that. But I did not like reading about alcoholics and alcohol because I wasn't an alcoholic, and I didn't like alcoholics, you know, because I didn't drink and I had opinions about that. And so they said, just take the book and scratch out where it says alcoholic and put in overeater. You know, and where it says alcohol, scratch it out and put food in there. So that's how I was able to stomach reading the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. And so I lost my weight, and I thought, you know, man, when I get this weight off, everything is going to be just great, you know. But that's not what happened. When I, because I still had all my character defects, glaring ones, some of them. And I wasn't an evil person, you know. I didn't rob liquor stores or anything like that. So I was just a lowly person that followed people around and tried to get you to love me. And I was a people pleaser. Might still be somewhat, you know. But you know, I was taught in my family that you didn't talk about your family secrets. So nobody came in the house. And when I was growing up, and I was an adopted child, my mother, Dorothy Chandler, got me out of a orphanage in Oakland, California, in May the something 1944. I don't know. My sister made a diary of me when I was a little baby, and so and the you know, and I was cross-eyed, and so the lady in the orphanage said, you know, there's a lot of other children in here that don't have medical problems that you're going to have to pay to have fixed, you know, and that's going to cost you a lot of money to get that baby's eyes straightened out. So she said, you should think about picking another one of these kids. And then my mother said, no, I want that one right there, you know. And that I was always that was my best friend, was my mother that adopted me. My found out my adoption papers, and they probably should have never let me read them in the state that, you know, I wasn't very mature, you know, and it said on there I was the illegitimate child of Mamie Alacio. So I thought to myself at the time, and for many years, yeah, I was a mistake. After all, I was illegitimate, you know. And so that's you know, that's how I grew up. And so whenever I would feel sorry for myself, my mother would sit me down. And I said, "Well, Mom, the kids are picking on me, you know." And she'd say, "Well, here, honey, sonny, have something to eat, you know." And then I would eat half a box of it, you know. And she'd say, "You know, that's gluttony, you know." So I got a little mixed message there, you know. So if this was Gluttons Anonymous, I'd feel quite comfortable here because gluttony is, like we read the AA 12 and 12, and it says in there that gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins, you know. And so, anyway, so that's how I grew up. And I think probably my
5 minutes.
oh, wow, 5 minutes. My favorite phrase was probably, "Are you going to finish that?" You know, so I got married. I married a gal that had two children. I loved her children. I don't know if I was romantically had feelings about her, but I loved those kids. And so I adopted her. When I wrote my inventory, that was very painful to find out that I wasn't really attracted to my wife, but I loved the kids, you know. And so anyway, I had to do a lot of service. I followed the people around in the program that were successful, and they were all involved in the intergroup and the retreat committee. And so that's the way you're successful. And they said, you got to do service. You know, it's one of the tools, you know. So then they invited me to be on the retreat committee and come to the intergroup. So I did all those things. And they, said, they were all sponsors. So I became a sponsor. I wanted to be like them. I followed them, you know. And that's the best advice I ever got, you know, because I sponsor a lot of people nowadays, and I always have. And don't fire anybody. I don't believe in that. But this pain and suffering that I went through caused me to, to have to work the 12 steps. You know, it wasn't something I wanted to do. I just wanted to be clear on that. But because I was so involved in the program, because I still had the food compulsion. So, man, I had to be around you. I called you all the time. I made a lot more than three phone calls because I needed to. I was worse off than you were. And I would apologize, for calling you. And the people would say, "Thank God." Yes, I heard this several times. "Man, how did you know I was going in the refrigerator, Dave?" Well, I didn't. I just needed a phone call because I reached in the pantry to get out a can of tuna and pulled out the lid to the cookie jar, I dropped the jar lid, and oh my God. That kind of stuff happened to me. And anyway, make a long story shorter, my wife divorced me. And my divorce paper said that respondent suffered severe personality change as a result of involvement of the program of Overeaters Anonymous. That's pretty much verbatim what it said on there. And so I was sleeping on Rick White's couch. I got thrown out of my house, of course. And I met a guy at a meeting named Pete, and he came over from the AA program, and he just got divorced. Divorced, and we were just laughing. "Hey, you got divorced, so did I, you know." And I said, "Well, I'm sleeping on some guy's couch." He says, "Well, I'm sleeping in my car. Why don't we get an apartment?" So that was the beginning. I didn't know any of this was going to happen, I assure you. But this was the beginning of my spiritual experience, meeting this man. And I believe we were put together by divine appointment in divine order. And that's what I call it. And so we got an apartment. I said, "Man, whatever you say, I don't know how we're going to afford it. I pay half of my salary to my wife for child support and alimony." He says, "Well, we'll make it. Don't worry about it. God's going to take care of us." Oh, here we go. That's where it all started. Everything was God. God this, God that. And we got the apartment. I says, "Well, And so we got the apartment. And we had nothing but the clothes on our back. And I'll give you this guy's phone number if you don't believe me. He'll check it out. And so I was in the bedroom that I got, and I was laying on the floor on my daughter's sleeping bag that I borrowed from her, and I was crying. And Pete said, "Come to the doorway." He said, "What's the matter?" He says, "What's wrong with you?" I says, we don't have any furniture. We don't have a damn kitchen table. We don't have a couch. We don't have chairs. We don't have silverware, I don't have a bed. You don't have, what do you mean, what's wrong?" And he said, God is going to provide all the things we need in 2 months, and we'll have to give some of it away. And I went, oh, gee, here, this guy's nuts. God's going to take God this, that, and he says, besides that, this is because this is God's apartment. It's not your apartment. It's not my apartment. And he had a faith in God that I didn't have, you know. And so I told him one Sunday, I said, you know, I get really lonely on Sunday. You go off with your girlfriend, and I'm sitting here by myself, all alone. I haven't got no family anymore. And he said, "You wait a minute. We're your family. We understand you." So that I didn't understand what he was talking about when he said that at the time. So he said, "Why don't you start a meeting?" So I said, "Well, how in the apartment? We're going to start a meeting?" He says, "Of course, you know." He said, "That's what they did in AA years ago. You know, started." I said, "Actually," he said, "I've started a lot of meetings." So we did. We started a big book candlelight meeting, and man, all kinds of people showed up, and we lit a candle, and well, we read the big book chapter, and then we lit a candle and turned lights off, and people shared. It was a very good meeting, and that's how I got my spiritual experience, you know. So, that's how I got there, you know, because if I hadn't met this guy, I had dinner with him and his wife.
5 minutes.
Thank you very much. I had dinner with him and his wife. They're moving up the coast to be closer to their grandkids, their kids and their grandkids. And this guy had these 3x5. This was 1970s. He had these 3x5 cards. I don't know if you're some of you are old enough to know what those were. Before we had computers, and so you wrote things on the cards, you know. And now see, this is two men living in an apartment, you know. So you think we left closed the bathroom door when we went in there? No, men don't do that. I don't do that stuff, you know. And so so I saw him in there reading these cards in the morning. You know, I had all these cards. I says, "What the hell are those cards you're reading?" He says, "Those are my affirmations, you know." And I said, "Can I see them?" He said, "Sure." So he had one for relationships, and I was really lonely, you know. And so I took that and I copied it down word for word, you know. And I had a typewriter, so I typed it out. I still have it. And so I went to a meeting on Friday night at the Colina del Col Sol golf course here in San Diego, and there a woman, a beautiful woman, came in there with a red and white polka dot sundress on, and so she went to coffee with us, and she was very nice. I liked her, so I went home and I said, "Hey, I met the woman on this card at the meeting. She was there, the woman that you're talking about on this card, you know." And so he said, "I'm going to the meeting next week." Well, he married her, still married to her. Yeah. So that's just a coincidence, isn't it? Yeah. But so I've seen all these miracles that happen. And then because I read this book, this AA 12 and 12, and I go to step studies, you know, this is an amazing book. And a lot of people don't read it anymore. Younger people don't read it anymore in the program. But I discovered that the alcoholic says in there that they were sober by the grace of God. It says it in there 23 times. I did a word search because I kept seeing the word, and I thought, what the hell does grace mean? That's a religious word, no doubt, you know. Well, it's in the Bible, but I don't know. I wouldn't call it a religious word. It's a free, unmerited, unwarranted gift, you know. And the more I started to being a student of grace and reading books about it to find out what it meant and how it applied to me and how it applied to the alcoholic. And so I say, I'm abstinent today by the grace of God. I know what it is. And I've to some degree, God has on a daily basis removed the food obsession from me. And I mean, I ate all day long. I won't do a food log, but I mean, I ate. I on the if I came home on the way from work, and I would talk to my wife, "What's for dinner, honey?" And I'm eating this big breakfast that she cooked me. I mean, both my wives were a great cook. You know, I have time to talk about my second wife. That's a miracle too. And she would say, "Well, we're going to have this." And I didn't want to hurt her feelings, so I didn't tell her that I wasn't excited about that. So I would stop at the fast food place and get me something to eat and to throw the wrappers away before I went in the house, you know. Then I would eat what she cooked because I didn't want to hurt her feelings. Of course not. So that's how you get to be 300 pounds, along with eating everybody else's leftovers, your kids and everything else. But how much do I have 5 more minutes or how much more time do I have?
You have 1 minute and 12 seconds.
Okay. All right. So anyway, I remarried and my wife was an alcoholic and I went to Al-Anon and that saved me. Al-Anon program saved me. And but my well, I haven't got time to talk about her. She was an amazing woman. I mean, she got sober by working this program. And not only did she get sober, but she 12-stepped the kid next door, who I was afraid of. He was a really wild, crazy guy. And I saw him during the pandemic, and I was walking across a parking lot, and he pulled his backed his car out and rolled down the passenger window, and he says, "Is that you, Dave?" And I stuck my head in the window, and I said, "Anthony," and he's completely changed. He's soft. He's a wonderful man, and he says, "I'm going to get my 10-year token. Pat saved my life." You know, we had that talk a couple of weeks ago when I saw him walking his dog. But you know, that's Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, we had homeless people in here that were sober. I mean, just like our apartment when Pete and I were there. You know, she worked the program, so I learned a lot from her, and I always want to say something about her when I make a pitch because she was quite a woman. When she got sober, you know. And what I found out is she hated her drinking more than I did, you know. So I'm always learning something new. But anyway, I'm absent today by the grace of God. I'm doing great. I went to the doctor and a couple weeks ago and got my physical, and she said, I said, "Well, I want to thank you. You've been my doctor for 15 years, and I might make it to 80 years old in May. I'll be 80 years old." And she said, "You're going to live a lot longer than that." And I said, "Write that down somewhere and sign it." And anyway, I wouldn't be here today, I'm quite sure, if I hadn't found Overeaters Anonymous, you know. So thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Dave.